Welcome back to Right Side. I'm Amy Beth Shaver with Allison Sinclair and JP. We are joined by a friend of the show, someone y'all know well, who is running for state school board, Emily Jones from Madison. Emily, how are you today?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We are good.
Look at your cute little picture. I'm so happy.
JP's good.
Yeah.
I need to use a new one.
How's campaigning? How's life? Are you exhausted?
I'm not exhausted. Campaigning's good. It's honestly like it's been a little slow because it's the holidays. So, you know, most groups don't get together and most normal people don't want to talk about politics during the holidays. So
what? Really?
I know.
Normal people. Hey, tell normal us people. Exactly, in case we have listeners that don't know, what you're running for and tell us why.
Yeah, so I'm running for state school board. So most people don't even realize that we have a state level school board. They just track their local one. But we do. We have a state school board. It consists of 8 board members, and then our governor is the air quotes president. So I'm running for District 8. So that is the northeast corner of the state. So Limestone, Madison, Jackson, and DeKalb County. And my why, that's always the fun one. Like most people, COVID was a wake-up call for me, and most people on the show know me more for Moms for Liberty stuff, and COVID is what got me involved with Moms for Liberty and politics, and the more I learned through that role and, you know, what exactly is going on in our school systems, the more apparent it became that very few decisions are actually made at the local level, that if you really want to have change, you need to do it at a much higher level. And that is the state level, the state school board. They're the ones that really and truly set policy for the entire state, or, you know, state schools. So I just started digging into that more and more and more and realized that if I wanted to have change, then that's where I needed to be focused. So here we are.
So what kind of issues do you want to tackle or that are brewing right now at the state school board level?
I think the big thing is we just need to have a better functioning state school board. And I don't say that as a negative about anybody that's currently on the board, but when you look at what the school board is supposed to do, when you look at the Alabama code, they're supposed to pass policies for the entire state, you know, public schools. And to some extent, I think they have done that. But I know you guys have been very involved in the gender ideology bill that we've been dealing with for going on 4 years now. And while I love Mike Butler and I love everything he's doing to fight for that, we really don't have to have legislative action to get that done. Your state school board can just pass the policy. And for example, Florida passed a law years ago that prohibited gender ideology in public schools for K through 8. When that law went to the state school board for implementation, the state school board said, that's great. We're going to expand that via policy and make it apply K through 12. So that's why Florida has K through 12 prohibitions on this, is because they passed a policy, not a law. We can do the same thing in our state. I love what Mike's doing, but we don't have to have Mike doing that. The state school board could just do that. It would be difficult. It would require standing firm. But they can do it. They have the authority to do it. So that's really the big thing I want to focus on. It's just, let's get the board to the position where they're actually doing what they're elected to do, to pass policy, to get our schools focused on education, so that we're not ranked 47th in the nation and we're ranked, you know, like 27th. That would be grand. I would be satisfied with 27th.
That's an idea.
Hey, it's improvement.
Yeah, it is.
We should shoot for number one, but let's go for 27 first.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll make
it
there.
You.
So I've got a question, though. Why do you think the school board in Ruby Red, Alabama, is not doing that? I would guess the majority of parents would appreciate that policy.
Why do I think they're not passing policy or the gender ideology?
The gender ideology policy.
I think it requires a couple of things. And you know this, Allison, because we've had these discussions so many times. People don't think it's happening here. So, you know, the default is, why do we need a policy to prohibit something that's not here? I think that's a lot of it. Our current school board, none of them have young children in public school. Now, they may have grandchildren, but they don't have kids in the classroom. They don't see firsthand what parents are dealing with. I mean, like I've found these books on my son's school issued Chromebook. So I know this stuff is there. So I think that's the big thing. They just don't realize the stuff is there to know that you need a policy. And even if it's not there, let's be proactive and let's prohibit it. And that way it doesn't ever get there. But I think that's the main thing. I just don't think they really understand what's happening. So mm-hmm. they don't know what they need to do to prevent it. And then, of course, it's just like the legislator. Like, why is it taking 4 years to get this done? Yeah. It shouldn't. We're Ruby Red, Alabama. This should be easy. But it requires people standing up and saying what is deemed the controversial thing in our state. So,
well, I can send them, not a bad idea, I'll send them the document that I put together. Do you remember that?
It's a dandy.
I do.
Yeah. And it shows it all, probably more than they ever want to know. So I'll be happy to send that on to them so they cannot claim ignorance anymore. And then when you get there, you can pass this policy very quickly. I'm curious, from you talked about the state level and how they control a lot in our education. What do you think about abolishing the Department of Education? It's been talked about a bit. Trump came in strong, and then it kind of died, and then it came back. How would that work in Alabama, and would you be for it?
I'm for it. I'm all for states' rights. To the extent that, you know, we can get them there, there's a couple of things that should not be held at the state level, but education is one that needs to be state level. You know, we can go back and revise standards. We can look at funding allocations, and we can do a ton of different things if we're not having to answer to the federal government. We can change how we assess curriculum. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we can do when we're not hand tied over federal regulations that really don't make sense in our state. Will we get there? I don't know. I'm hopeful. But I think there's a lot of unknowns with it. And this is the part, you know, I have a background in defense finance. So I know how the financial part of that works in the defense world. I'm curious how it will work if they're successful in abolishing the Department of Ed, because I keep hearing that they will do block grants, which essentially just means they're going to say, like, here, Alabama Department of Ed, like, here's X amount of millions of dollars. Go figure out how to allocate this out to your states. I don't know how we currently manage all of the federal funding that comes in. I have attempted to figure that out in years past, and I hit so many roadblocks that I just gave up.
That's
so figuring out how you take, I know, shocking, right? Full transparency. But figuring out how the financial piece of that will work is most intriguing to me. Because like I said, I know how the defense side of it works, and you have to basically outline, like, here's my requirements and why I need it, and here's the mission impact if you don't fund it, and then the higher ups bless off on what they're funding and not funding, and then you just had to figure it out. Are we going to do the same thing with our education system? I don't know. And are we currently putting plans in place to think through what those steps might look like? I don't know.
I will say that
to me is the big spark.
Yeah, but if you don't have to implement all these crazy federal programs, that would take a ton of money that we just throw at stupid stuff. In the education system. So I think there's a way it could work. And Alabama is giving more money to education with way less results. So I think we could just shift some things around. I'll help you on that too. We'll work on that.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a quick question for you. So we've heard that something is going on with civics textbooks in Alabama. Do you know anything about that, A? And B, what is the process if somebody wanted to, or the state goes, we're going to change out the textbooks? Isn't there a selection committee involved with picking out textbooks for school?
Yes. So are you talking the social studies?
Yes, that's it. It's the social studies.
Yeah. Well, this is a hot mess, and it shouldn't be. So if you go look at Alabama law, and I can send you the actual Alabama code because I had to look it up the other day. If you go look at it from beginning to end, there is very much, like you said to me, Beth, there is a committee that has to go and review this. And they, I don't know what all it entails, but they have to look at the textbooks and compare it to the standards to make sure that at a minimum, it meets the standards. Now, you can have a bunch of additional stuff in there you don't need, but it has to meet the standard. And then the committee takes a report back to the state board, and basically, I'm going to kind of paraphrase, but basically, you know, like, five people submitted a bid. Here's the top three. Here's the reasons why. If you've ever been involved in a proposal process, that's just kind of the typical process, right? Here's the recommendation of the top three, and then the board has to vote on it. But in that process, there is a part that says the public or the state board has to allow the public time to make comments on the textbook options. So in order to make comments, the public has to have access to the textbooks, obviously. So what's happened recently is somebody with the Department of Ed, and I can't remember the gal's name or I would share that, but she put out a memo that said, hey, the social studies books are available at these dedicated locations across the state. You have until such and such date to go review it and provide feedback. Well, I went to the place here in Huntsville, which is the UAH library, and it was a disaster. Like, everything's just shoved in the corner. It's books, I'm not even kidding you, that go back for 5 years.
Oh, gosh.
Nothing is labeled. I have no idea what's current. So I couldn't review anything. So I sent an email to this lady and put the board on there and just said, like, hey, this is an issue. Like, I'm trying to review this per the law, per my responsibility as a citizen. I can't find the textbooks. Will you please tell me where they are, where I can find them, whatever? And of course, I was just met with resistance, and I was told per state code, they cannot share that information with me until after they vote, which is not true.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. So in the meantime, they have pushed the vote. So they were originally supposed to vote in November. They did not. I was told they were going to vote in December. And Dr. Mackey, the state superintendent, did email me back directly and said, no, we're not voting on this in December. So I had assumed that it was kind of a, we don't have a timeline, but per law, they have to get new textbooks because they have to update them so many few years, and they're on a timeline. So I don't know when they're going to vote on it, but to date, the books have not been made available to the public to review, to provide comment.
That's delightful. We need to stay up on that.
And I think, Allison, I told you this, part of the issue that I have heard is that the dates in the textbook are wrong. So for instance, it doesn't have the correct year in which Alabama became a state.
Oh, so didn't it say it was 1818 instead of 1819? I mean, it's something silly like that.
I have no idea. I've not seen it.
That's
but I'm told it's something like
that. Yeah.
Basic that you should get right.
You probably, I mean, I'm just, probably. You know, just spitballing here.
Maybe that's why we're not 27th.
Probably.
I mean, everybody's going to fail the test. Emily, we've got to take a break. Or do I have a few minutes? Can I? Okay. I got to ask you about the RAISE Act, which is one thing that Amy Beth and I just kind of discovered recently. I didn't even know they passed it last session, and their new allocation per student for funding. Do you have any comment on that, or have you looked into it much?
I've looked into it. So it just so happens Arthur Orr is the one that sponsored that, and he's my senator. So I did talk to him about it last year. It was just happenstance that I was in his office when some info came out about it. So I'm with you. Like, I knew it was happening because I had talked to him about it, but I didn't fully realize that it had passed. I've glanced at it. I've not looked at it in a lot of detail. I do think there's some good, potentially good things in there. You know, there's some new reporting requirements. I'll say air quotes, accountability. It all depends on how people share information, if it's actually transparent. But I do think there's some goodness in there. But I'm also a little concerned because it's vague language. So, you know, you have to be fiscally transparent. Well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. So we're going to essentially give more money to certain school districts based on different criteria. I don't know that we're going to have more transparency in what they're doing with it. So that's kind of my concern with it. But I think y'all know a whole lot more about the details of it than I do, honestly.
I just, as you get down the road, if you start hearing things or learning things, I would love to be wrong about it, because we do need to revamp education in Alabama. Maybe the way we have been allocating money is antiquated and outdated. But it seemed a little bit like just a way to, again, incentivize a community that is here that, I mean, because most of the language in the website that I was reading was talking about English as English learners and the money that was going to English learners and the money that was going to all these underprivileged, whatever. And I just was kind of like, this again seems a little bit like wealth redistribution. Yep. of a way to prop up a community that I'm not even sure we should be supporting with our tax dollars. If you have an illegal in front of you, I'm not sure it's our responsibility to educate you. people may disagree with me, but it, I'd be curious as you come across information, just keep us posted on that.
Yeah. The English language learners, that's a whole nother, it's a whole nother issue. And it goes by very much to federal mandates, because there's something called the McKinney-Vento Act that says schools can't turn these kids away.
Yep.
So then they're stuck in your schools. You can't do anything with it. The federal government's not funding you. So what do? Well, it becomes the state budget.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, because of McKinney-Vento, you can't track them. So you can't go back to the federal government to say, you need to reimburse me. So it is a massive, massive, massive issue. So I see where you're going with that. And definitely something I'm going to keep an eye on now that you pointed that out. Because it shouldn't be a state issue to fund this when it's the federal government's responsibility for letting them in.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Again, maybe unintended consequences, and it's a good bill, but I think it's something we need to look out for. Emily, we've got to go to a break. Thank you so much. But how can people find you if they want to donate to your campaign or learn more about you?
Easiest thing, just to go to my website, Emily Jones for State Board. Easy peasy.
Oh, that was really easy.
That was simple.
Okay.
Thanks, Emily.
I have a name for politics.
Emily, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Good luck. Get some rest.
Thank you.
Get back out there in Madison and Huntsville, separate places. We'll be right back.